At this time, I'd like to convene a public comment session. Procedures of the board allow for a public comment session during each meeting. Each speaker is allotted 5 minutes to address the board. Before the speaker begins, I should mention that the tradition of the board has been to listen closely to what speakers have to say and ask questions only as necessary. I'm sure the speaker is happy to avail himself or herself outside of the board meeting for a question and answer session as appropriate. We appreciate the fact that we have guest speakers today. I believe we have three, is that correct? Mm-hmm. And we look forward to hearing from them. So first I would like to call on Rose Meacham. Use the podium if you like.
Okay, hi, thanks for letting me give this presentation. Sorry, I'm not feeling so great, but I thought it was important to be here. Okay, so I'm speaking on a topic that is relevant to basically every student at UIUC. I'm a first year PhD student here, and I love data, and I love data science. And there are some issues that we all face, so I thought that I would turn to data to help try to uncover some of the narratives that might be causing some of the issues that students are facing so we can figure out how to better address them. I'll start by reading. It says on the website for our internal student code that the goal of the disciplinary system is to educate and discipline the individual as well as to protect the integrity and security of the university community and its mission by serving as a deterrent. And under this mission, the university statutes was first started by the Board of Trustees in 1931 and was reaffirmed in 1957. In January 1972, the Board of Trustees again affirmed the government system and adopted recommendations for strengthening the system. According to the website, it's the responsibility of the Board of Trustees to continually update and regulate this disciplinary system. And I will be submitting, I think on Friday, they're going to send all the board members the findings from the first poll that I conducted among students to kind of highlight some of the ways that we could improve the system. So I'll read some of the highlights from the first poll that we conducted. We asked, have you experienced harassment, bullying, discrimination, or sexism at UIUC? And out of this first poll that we conducted, 65.4% of students said yes. 33.3% of students gave the Title IX office a 1. Only 16.7 students gave the Title IX office a 5, which was the highest grade they could give it. And then when we asked, have you reported any of the incidences that you experienced to the Title IX office? 42.3% said yes. 23.1% said they didn't know how to do that. And 34.6% students said no. If yes, was the matter fully resolved to your satisfaction without negative academic repercussions? 64.7% said no. 35.3% said yes. Did the Title IX office protect you from retaliation for filing your claim? 40.9% students said they weren't sure how to make sure that that happened. Have you reported any incidents to the Office of Student Conflict Resolution? 56% said yes. 20% said they didn't know how to do that. If yes, was the matter fully resolved to your satisfaction without negative academic repercussions? 60% said no. 40% said yes. I guess you'll see when you get the full thing that there's a definite need to try to make some improvements. There are also a bunch of like individual student quotes and comments for suggestions. And I guess I was just hoping to propose, if you're open to it, that we're starting a working group that focuses on quality for all students. And we'll be conducting a bi-monthly poll and publishing those results publicly. And if you're open to it, we would be interested in working with the Board of Trustees to try to update and revise the existing student code so that it makes UIUC a safe and open community for everyone. So that's it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Meacham. Next, I'd like to call on Tony Henson.
Ed.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to comment on the original intended identity of Fighting Illini Athletics, the current state of that identity, and the only two possible futures moving forward. Most sports teams take on generic, non-serious identities, and as such, they emote no particular passion from their fans. However, in the 1920s, a decision was made to take on a serious identity for Fighting Illini Athletics. During the stadium campaign, the originators of the Fighting Illini name sought to associate World War I veterans from the university as well as the Native Illini tribe with Fighting Illini Athletics as a gesture of respect and honor. In the years since the stadium campaign, nothing has been done to regularly associate veterans with Fighting Illini Athletics. Chief Illiniwek became the singular identity of Fighting Illini Athletics for decades, to the exclusion of veterans and the Illinois Confederated Tribes, also known as the Illini. This is the history. Fighting Illini Athletics currently has no identity. To those in the minority who are offended by the inauthentic nature of athletics' Native American traditions, they must end their campaign of vengeance and accept the very authentic culture they themselves have long been calling for. To those in the majority who consider these traditions sacred, they must compromise toward making these inauthentic traditions authentic in order to reach middle ground. The unavoidable fact of the matter is that out of hundreds of colleges and universities that comprise the NCAA, Illinois is in a very exclusive club, being one of only eight to have an actual tribal affiliation. All eight, including Illinois, fought to keep their Native American identities intact, with six gaining an NCAA exemption. Multiple administrations fought to keep the chief as recently as just 10 years ago, not because administrators were politically conservative or had any particular affection for the chief, but because they respected the will of the majority. In the decades since the forced retirement of the chief, the attitude of each administration has been one of open hostility toward the will of the majority. So here we find ourselves over a decade out, with the pro and anti-chief sides still battling back and forth. On one extreme, you have 10% who want all Native American associations to athletics completely eradicated. On the other extreme is 10% who demand the chief or nothing. In the center, you have an 80% stakeholder majority eager to embrace the authentic culture. The NCAA sanctions combined with the recent history of controversy prohibits any return of Chief Illiniwek, leaving just two possible futures. One future placed to the extreme advocated by a vengeance-driven minority in favor of complete eradication. To follow this path would be to deny the historical identity of Fighting Illini Athletics in favor of some false identity. This will guarantee that the chief void will never be filled and fan resentment will never end. The other future is one which 80% majority will enthusiastically embrace. It returns us to the historical origins of the Fighting Illini identity by proudly associating with veterans and our Native Illini tribe in a new and authentic manner. There is only one group of people on the planet that can speak to whether something is honoring to the Native Illini, and that is the remnant Peoria tribe. The NCAA rightly assigned the ability to receive a policy exemption by gaining approval of the affiliated tribe and not any campus Native American organization. The tribe alone is an independent arbiter, devoid of campus politics, who can render objective opinions concerning the respectful appropriation of the culture. A tribe-approved emblem and halftime tribute featuring a veteran color guard and authentic Native American drummers and dancers is the one and only non-chief option that the vast majority of stakeholders will embrace and the only thing that moves us on from the chief. Mr. Chairman, I do not know if an unofficial chief portrayer showing up at halftime damages the reputation of the university, but I do know that the chancellor's segregationist ban on authentic Native American culture at halftime most assuredly does. There is never any justification for discrimination, and the chief controversy affords no such exception. It is time to move on from the chief. But just as importantly, it is time to end the tyranny of the minority, which has backed by this administration. Trustees, by resolution, you have a role in bringing clarity concerning the identity of Fighting Illini athletics moving forward. With your leadership, a glorious future in which our fans once again smile, cheer, and burst out with pride at halftime is within reach. A future in which unity, inclusion, and goodwill prevail over divisiveness, exclusion, and vengeance. A future in which Illini Nation is educated about our tribe's history and authentic culture. A future of clarity and pride in what the Fighting Illini name has always meant to represent, but only now revealed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Henson. Our next speaker is Amber Blatt.
Hello, good afternoon. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you all today. To introduce myself, my name is Amber Blatt, and I'm a graduate student at the University of Illinois at Chicago in social work, but I'm here representing Yes Apply Illinois campaign, and you'll see our participants over here holding the signs. University of Illinois and the three campuses were charged by the state to enhance the lives of Illinois residents. The university promises every student a chance to study, work, and grow with classmates who will broaden their perspective and worldview. Unwavering commitment to the recruitment, retention, and non-discrimination of diverse and inclusive student body that reflects the communities we serve. We are very proud of University of Illinois that is committed to the equal opportunity of all students. The problem is our admissions process discourages applicants by asking to disclose, describe, defend past school disciplinary violations or conviction records. Because questions are invasive and humiliating, they result in a high attrition rate for students with records. And it sends the message that such students are not welcome to even apply here. Given that 47% of adults in Illinois have records, we must remove these barriers to education. Students from poor communities are more likely to have a conviction or school disciplinary record, and this policy has an impact of economic and racial discrimination. The U.S. Department of Education has given forceful guidance to the university to help reverse rather than contribute to damaging impact of the criminal legal system. It urges colleges to remove these questions. New York just removed it, and California never had them. And because UIC already removed these questions from the grad application, we now benefit from having excellent student colleagues who did not have to face this question. So I have a quote from Benjamin, who is a superstar graduate student in public policy at UIC, and he said, "My experience at UIC and in academic environment was actually a healing process. I spent 5 years in prison, so I was already institutionalized. At UIC, I was able to see an institution that teaches teaches your mind, fills your mind with positive images and ways to chart the future. When I was in prison, it was hard to see the future. When people see these questions on the applications and realize that they're going to have to review this painful time in their life, and they will also have to write about it, provide documentation long after they've been punished, makes them feel judged and degraded, like they won't get in anyway. Ben also said, once a person feels like an other to society, especially with a criminal background, they think, why even bother to try? I've seen it happen too many times to too many people. When you see you're not with the best parts, when you see you're not worth the best parts of society has to offer, you just give up. And I'm going to share a personal story. My friend from undergrad had an arrest on her record from when she was 19 and caught with marijuana. When she was applying for the education program, she stopped at this question because she assumed that the university just didn't want teachers with records. And she was too embarrassed and ashamed to get people's opinions. There are so many people not at this school because they saw the question and didn't apply. Questions have a chilling effect, and we want students from all over Illinois, every neighborhood, to be encouraged to apply. Our faculty allies on the campaign have said some of the strongest and most dedicated students have previous convictions, many veterans from the school-to-prison pipeline. Some high schools have extremely high rates of suspensions, expulsions, and disciplinary actions, and we ask about those all on our applications. So that's why we are here today with our partners in the school and community to ask each of you on the Board of Trustees to support this initiative and please hold a discussion about it at the admission practices at your May meeting. We will be asking each campus to remove the questions from the application. And just this past Monday, we had an undergraduate student resolution at UIC that passed, and we won't stop there. Together, students, alumni, faculty, staff, and administrators have the power and responsibility to encourage all students to apply to the University of Illinois. Illinois should abolish these questions, and we should lead the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Black.